Mark 6, starting at verse 7. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except the stuff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Now verse 30. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Will you bow your heads in a moment of prayer? Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. Early one morning, about 2 weeks ago, I was just coming through my garden gate and almost bumped into a little girl of about 7 or 8 years old on her way to school. She greeted me with "Grüß Gott," and we walked briefly together down the road. She was clearly in a bad mood and began to complain bitterly about the fact that when she got to school, she faced a Klassenarbeit, a class test. "Gerade heute! Warum muss es gerade heute sein?" Today, why did it just have to be today, straight after the Altstadtfest? From this I gathered, along with a few thousand others, she'd been celebrating in the town the night before, in the traditional way that people in our part of the world do so, and probably far beyond her bedtime. I tried to comfort her with the reminder that the school term would soon be over, the week and school holidays would begin. "Gott sei Dank!" "Thank God," she said, and ran off down the road to join a small boy who was creeping like a snail unwillingly to school, to use Shakespeare's words, dragging his satchel along the pavement behind him. He obviously was thinking along the same lines as the little girl was. They weren't looking forward to going to school. Well, now they're both on holiday. And I thought that this morning I would share, in spite of the weather this morning, a few thoughts with you about holidays. August, after all, is a month when many, if not most people, have a break. Your schools here in Sachsen are on holiday at the moment, I think for about another 2 weeks, I think, what I've just heard. Certainly in Bavaria, the schools only began about a week ago. In our lesson, then, this morning, taken from that beautiful love poem, the Song of Solomon, the Song of Songs, which Peter read to us, the lover calls to his beloved to come away. To come away on holiday. One can imagine that it is God who is calling us, whom he loves, to come with him on holiday. Holidays are in fact very important for us. In the very first chapter of the Bible, we read that God himself had a holiday after his work of creation. The Lord rested the seventh day and blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. He made it holy. Holidays are indeed, as the word itself reminds us, holy days. They're part of God's ordinance for humankind. We need them in order to be fully human. It's not for nothing that God incorporated the observance of a weekly holiday within the Ten Commandments. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all that thou hast to do. The seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work. And this, God says, goes for the family members and for the employees as well. Yes, even for the working animals. They are to have every week a holiday. How many shop workers these days find themselves having to work on Sundays in order to keep their jobs? I know they may get a compensatory day on another day of the week, but as far as Sunday is concerned, very often they say, you must work on Sunday. I've just come back from England and I was depressed to see that Sunday is largely now regarded almost as any other day of the week as far as shops opening is concerned. And now I know that this commandment is difficult to interpret in the complicated social system in which we live. Some people inevitably have to work on Sundays, but we must try to stick to the principle. Everybody needs a regular weekly day of rest, and the observance of Sunday contributes to the physical and spiritual health of any nation. In the Bible, we read that God ordained for his people Israel other days as holidays: Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, Purim. I won't go into what the background of all these holidays were, but you can read them up yourself. And in addition, in the time of Christ, they celebrated the Festival of Lights, Hanukkah, to commemorate the cleansing and rededication of the temple in Jerusalem. And we know from St. John's Gospel that Jesus took part in this festival, in this holiday. It normally, in fact, coincides with Christmas. What then was God's purpose in ordaining holidays? Firstly, as a break from the busy demands of the routine of our daily toil. And this is important. We all need this. We need from time to time to be able to have a rest, to put our feet up. This, of course, is the meaning of the Hebrew word Shabbat. It means rest. But there is more to that than just putting our feet up or having a sleep on in the morning, however important this may be. Having a rest does not necessarily mean doing nothing. In ordaining holidays, God wants his people to have the opportunity, first of all, to remember. The people of Israel remembered and gave thanks on their holidays for particular blessings when God delivered them and sustained them. And by giving us holidays, God wants us to cast our minds back over the past weeks or the past months or the past year and recall particular instances of God's blessing. Occasions when we in retrospect can see how God has helped us in different situations. We don't have time to do this when we're working every day, but on holidays we do. My mother, who lived to the age of 92, used to quote that little verse, "Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." This is something we can particularly do whilst we are on holiday. And finally, God gives us the opportunity, when we're on holiday, to reflect. To reflect on the wonder of his creation. And this is exactly what the Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon, does. he looked at the world around him, the writer, and as summer comes and he calls on his beloved to enjoy all that she sees and hears, the flowers blossoming, the birds singing, the trees bearing fruit. There's a lovely psalm, Psalm 8, where the psalmist expresses his feeling of wonder as he contemplates God's creation. I don't know whether you've got Psalm 8 in front of you. Have you got Bibles there? Perhaps you'd like to just look at Psalm 8. It's a lovely, quite a short psalm. Perhaps we'll say it together, shall we? I'll say the first verse and you the second, and so on. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You set your glory above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. All flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. It's, as it were, something that we can do on holiday. We can look at creation around us and all the wonders of creation and praise God for what we see. We can listen to the waves of the sea. We can marvel at the heights of the hills. To quote another psalm, which we said at our earlier service this morning, Psalm 95, in his hands are the depths of the earth, the peaks of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, and he made it in his hand, moulded dry land. One of the loveliest hymns in the English language is that lovely hymn by Cecil Frances Alexander. I'm sure you know it. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, he made their glowing colours, he made their tiny wings. He gave us eyes to see them, and lips that we might tell how great is God Almighty, who has done all things well. If we are ready to spend time thinking about all these things, I believe we will hear a voice speaking to us in the depths of our being, which is far more moving than any voice we may hear in our workaday lives. Last of all, if we go away on holiday, let us not leave our faith at home. Wherever we are, we should seek out a quiet spot for our prayers. We may be able to find a church, may be different, even very different from our own, and yet there people of one Christian denomination or another meet to worship God, the God whom we worship, to focus on and learn from the Christ who loves us and who is the beginning and end of their faith and ours. In our second lesson, we heard how Jesus calls his disciples, who had a very big, busy time behind them, ministering to people, preaching the gospel, healing them, casting out demons and all the other things which he himself did. And at the end of it, they came back and told him all things, and he said, come apart and rest a while. Come apart and rest a while. That's what holidays are about. Coming about, a time to rest and relax, a time to remember. To remember the goodness of God in our lives, and a time to reflect upon the wonder of God's creation. May God make your next holiday a really holy and a happy one. Amen.